Amen. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Last week, we talked about the Sabbath principle, the rest principle. I thought I'd just bring it back to your mind for a minute before we get launched here this morning and wonder what changes or adjustments you might have made in your priorities or your schedule as a result of thinking through just clearly what God's word has to say about rest and a day of worship and a day of service. I hope that it's changed us in some ways. Maybe for some of us, changed us radically, and I want to invite you to think about that again. For those of you that are here for the first time today, we have been in a series through the fall. We're calling it 10 Foolish Things People Do to Mess Up Their Lives. But it's really a series of messages on the Ten Commandments. And so we're just walking down through the book of the chapter of Exodus, chapter 20, began in verse 1, just working our way down through this chapter expositionally and talking through, you know, what it has to say and how it applies for us together. Commandment number 5 this morning is neglecting to honor our parents. That's foolish thing number 5, neglecting to honor our parents. And we have been, one of the things that we've been trying to do during the course of this series is to memorize the whole list of the 10. And so each message we begin by trying to recite together. It'll be up on the screen for you, but maybe if you can try to remember the memory. We're going to have commandments 1 through 4. We're going to try to say them together. So if you join with me here this morning. Commandment number 1 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Good. Commandment number 2 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Commandment number 3 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then commandment number 4 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number 5 is in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. And this is what the word of God says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, family is an amazing thing. Families come in all different shapes and sizes. In fact, I brought some pictures with me this morning. We have goofy families, and we have serious families, and we have big families. Interesting families, and then we have, you know, just normal families. Really, they come in all different shapes and sizes. One guy said, each family is like its own sovereign government. God has designed the family to function in such a way that it is self-contained and self-sufficient. Each home has its own executive officers, its own legislatures, its own Supreme Court and police force. And I might add, if you have any small children around in your house, you might even have a little bit of CIA, because that's what the little ones are always trying to find out and tell on who's doing what. But I mean, it's all there. As we're all aware, the family structure is the core building block for any society. And what that means is that if the family has trouble, the society is in trouble. So that's why the Bible is so clear in regards to what a family should look like and how a family should operate. And so it defines, the Bible does, it defines who makes up a family. Family is not an arbitrary, man-defined, individual-defined deal. It is defined by God. And that definition of the family is woven into the fabric of man's psyche and how we're wired and how our society functions together. It's woven right in by God. So not only does the Bible define who makes up a family, it gives us some extremely clear principles about how a healthy family is to operate. So the fifth commandment might be one of the most practical prescriptions for healthy family living that you can find anywhere. And here's the interesting thing about it. It is directed to the children. When you think about that, isn't that interesting? God had one shot at telling his people, the nation of Israel, about about the most important thing about how a family should operate, and he directed his one thought in the Ten Commandments to the kids, to the children, not to the parents. And I don't know exactly why that is. I mean, I don't. But it might be, it just might be that God knows that we have a tendency to dishonor our parents. I wonder if that might have something to do with it. We have a tendency to take for granted what our parents have done for us. And I hope that this morning as we talk about it, we're going to find out that to do that has devastating impacts on the family structure and ultimately the society structure. So I ask that you follow along with this idea. When we dishonor our parents, it creates an eroding effect in the family relationship, and that's why it's so fundamental. All right, I want to give you two key principles from this commandment. It's critical, though, that we walk out of here understanding these two things. So here they go. Number one, honoring your parents is a biblical principle with lifelong responsibilities. This is the first thing that Exodus 20:12 tells us. Listen, I'm going to talk specifically some of this morning. Listen, kids and teens and college students, what you do with commandment number 5 for the next 5 and 10 and some of you 15 years, what you do with that could make all of the difference in the world to your success in life and the success of your marriage and even of your own family. Do you believe that the Bible is true? Go ahead, nod your heads on that. Nod your heads. Then listen to this again. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. It is a commandment, the first commandment, that has a promise that comes with it. And adults, this applies to you as much as it does to these young people. In fact, maybe in some ways even more, but there is a very special sense in which I want our young people this morning to kind of sit up and pay close attention, because you have nearly your whole lives before you, and if you could get this now, it's going to solve so much heartache for you in the future. So what exactly is the honor principle talking about? We've talked about this before. I think it's important again to do it in this context. The original Hebrew word is the word chabad, and it means literally, it means heavy or weight. And it's talking about people who carry a great deal of weight in your life. They're honored. Literally, and I love this, the word means to lay it on them. Or to lay a heavy one on them. To weigh someone down with respect and prestige. I place upon you great worth and great value. I lay that heavy weight on you as a result of the value that you have and you hold for me. I love it when we do graduations around here on the islands. And our high schools here, Harvest Christian Academy, our Bible college. I love it. One of the traditions in this region that we have is that we place these leis on the graduates as a sort of honoring of them. In fact, I brought a couple of pictures. This is Chloe Kanga and Emily, our daughter, a couple years ago at their graduation. And then I have no idea who that is. HBBC grad, and even more so, I don't know who that is. And I love it. I mean, it really is. I just think it's one of the most incredible, beautiful traditions to honor somebody in this way. It is such a visual, a vivid visual of honor being laid on these kids, this heavy honor, and it's so symbolic. It's beautiful. Hey, parents, don't we love it when our kids lay a heavy one on us? When your kids are little and, you know, they run up to you with sort of a spontaneous response, you know, mom didn't make them do it, it's not part of a birthday, or, you know, they just run up to you and they give you a big old hug around your neck or on your leg. And they put a planted kiss on your cheek and they're like, hey, I love you, Dad. I'm so glad that you're my dad. Man, it is like your heart. How can that little tyke that's such a troublemaker, how can that make you feel so amazing? Well, that's what honor does. It says something about the value and the weight that you have in their life. I loved it when our kids were little and, you know, like a lot of dads, we used to wrestle with the kids, and then we'd have an all-out, you know, WWW WrestleMania, dad versus the world, you know, in our living room, and four or five of our kids are all pile on, and you know how those go. It usually ends with dad on the bottom and all those kids on top of you, you know, feeling like, I got you, right? And then, of course, you get out and roar, and they all run, you know, run everywhere. But there's just something about that, you know, that's, they're laying it on you, right? There's an honor that comes with that relationship that you share. I'm not sure that's what our Monomco parents would appreciate today after the service, right? We're not gonna have a dog pile of honor, you know, on every person that walks out of here. But really, that is what we're talking about. It's laying a heavy one on mom, laying a heavy one on dad. It's giving them honor that is due to them. We talked before about the idea that the opposite, though, of honor is dishonor. And that is to treat someone as if they have little weight. They have little value. The word actually means to treat them like they're a vapor, like a mist, like they're not even there. And the truth is that as much and as powerful as honor is to somebody, the sense of dishonor is incredibly disheartening. So honoring our parents means that we place upon them great worth and great value, and we treat them as such. Let's break this principle down with two more points. This honor principle includes no age limit. In this text, and actually as we relate it to the New Testament in Ephesians 6, we'll talk about that in just a minute, obey is a temporary principle. That's as long as you're under the authority of your parents. So there's instruction in the Bible to obey. That's temporary. It's not permanent. But honor is forever. There's no place where your honoring your parents stops. I understand that honor may take a little different shape at different stages in your life. But there is never a stage when you are released from your obligation to value and to honor your parents. Number two, this honor principle involves no performance clause. And I want to explain this, but this is a very important that we understand this. Look at the verse again. It doesn't say honor your parents if they're good and righteous. If they're kind and gentle and loving. Honor your parents if they're consistent and understanding. It doesn't say that. And you might say, man, my parents, they don't deserve my honor. I'm sure that there are some here, I start talking about this topic, and you're like, what are you talking about? Honor my parents? After what she did to me? After all that I've had to go through, Pastor Greg, you have no idea what happens in my home. Are you kidding? And I get it. I understand. Without a doubt, there are some parents whose unloving actions have hurt their children deeply. I understand that some mothers and fathers don't appear to deserve honor. And I'm not downplaying that behavior at all. Honor does not mean to excuse them of their sin or to trivialize the pain that they have caused you. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is one way to be free from that hurt that they have caused you is to honor them. You see, continuing to nail your parents to a cross years after the fact hurts you more than it hurts them. You know, over the years, I have listened to too many heartbreaking stories of people who grew up in tough homes. And tough homes is really not it's not enough of a word. It's way too nice. Families where mom had multiple men coming and going in the home over the years. I heard one person say that they never really had a dad, but they did experience 15 different men that lived in their home from the time that they were kids until they left the house at 18. 15 different men. One or two stayed a couple years, the rest from a couple of months, and sometimes even a couple of weeks. Can you imagine the turmoil that's going on in that home? I had a friend in college, and his home life was just the worst thing that you can imagine. It was filled with abuse and harshness, and no love and no care. But you know, their testimony was that they came to know the love of Jesus in their older elementary years because someone came and picked them up in their neighborhood and brought them to church on a bus. And they came to know that Jesus loved them. And they gave their hearts to Jesus in elementary school, and then the church discipled them, and in middle school and in high school, their testimony is that they began to learn what it meant to obey and honor their parents, even when they knew more than anybody else that their parents, mom primarily, didn't deserve to be honored. And so even though there was never any type of normal care from parents that most kids get in most families, this person's testimony was, even through that, that's what I needed because it drove me to Jesus. How amazing is that? And let me tell you, for some, it takes a great deal of faith to believe that somehow God can use imperfect people like our parents to help shape us into the people that he wants us to be. But this is the truth. See, this is what this biblical principle of honor means. And you kids that are here, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to know this morning that I see you. We see you, and you are loved here. And one of the things that God is calling you to do, and we want to come alongside you, and we want to help you with this, but God is calling you to honor your parents. And it has no performance clause. That means that your parents might not deserve it. They might have treated you really badly. And by the way, I want to make sure I say this. It doesn't mean that you have to put up with abuse of any type. Listen, if you're listening to me this morning and you're like, man, Pastor Gary, you don't know what's going on in my home, I'm not saying that honoring your parents means you have to put up with abuse. If there's stuff going on in your home, you need to tell somebody. You can tell somebody today. You can talk to me. You can talk to Pastor Wade. You can talk to Pastor Noah. You can talk to Nikki. You could talk to Miss Rhonda. You can talk to a youth sponsor or youth leader, anybody that you know. Actually, I want to encourage you today. You don't have to hide that. You don't have to hold that. You actually should talk to somebody. This is a place where there's safety and love that you can and you should talk to somebody. But I do want to tell you that God still expects honor regardless of the behavior or the dysfunction. And here's the thing, when you do this, when you honor them, even when they have wronged and hurt you, there's a spiritual, listen to me, you guys, there's a spiritual perspective that comes to your life that says, God's got this. And God's got me. And your honor of your parents is like saying, I'm not going to be overcome by my circumstances in my life. I am not a helpless victim. God is using them for my good, and even through this pain, He is shaping me into the person that He wants me to be. Listen, my heart aches even as I say this, because I know the stories, I know the situations. I don't know exactly what you might be going through, but I want to tell you, God is good, He is enough, and God's got you. And I want to tell you that even through the turmoil, don't allow your past or your present to rule your future. And if you fail to forgive and if you fail to honor, you will absolutely allow that to happen. You know what I've found? When I'm talking with kids and teens and sometimes even adults with stories that don't even necessarily compare to the heartbreaking stuff that we're talking about here. They may not even be at that level, but they're still hurt along the way. But instead of choosing to honor, they have chosen to hold on to their hurt. And sometimes even feel sorry for themselves and their situation. And the result of that, this is the reason why it's so painful. The result of that is they're still unhappy and they're still bitter. They weren't the one that did anything to themselves, but now they're 30 and 40 and 50 years old and they're still holding on to that. Listen to me, I want to ask you to hear me on this. Honoring your parents, even when they don't deserve it, is a healthy and it's a healing and it's a life-giving choice. Which brings us to this. Not only do we learn from this commandment that honoring our parents is a biblical principle with lifelong responsibilities, but also principle number two, and that's this. How we treat our parents not only impacts them, it impacts us. I heard someone say from a rough family background, said, I honored my mom as a teenager and I honor her now because I believe God would be honored. What I found out is that in turn, God has honored me. And that is exactly what our passage teaches, right? Read it again. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord thy God gives to you. So this long life idea, in Hebrew thought, it doesn't have in mind a large number of years with quantity as the only concern. You know, it's not a promise that you'll live to be 100 years old. That's not the promise. What it means is to have experienced a fulfilled, bountiful life from childhood to old age. The idea that God's going to give you a good life, a bountiful life, if you'll honor your parents from your childhood, it'll start tracking along and it'll follow you with you. It doesn't mean that you won't be without heartaches. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard things and hard times in life. But God will give you a full, bountiful life connected with this idea of honoring our parents. Actually, Abraham was described this way at his death. Genesis 25 and verse 8 says, Abraham breathed his last and he died in a good old age, an old man and full of years. I love that. It's not just that he died, he didn't live to be 150 years old. The idea is that he had a full life, a fulfilled life, not perfect. And that idea makes sense to me. as sort of this idea of personal fulfillment. This is what God blesses those who would listen to him and honor their parents. He blesses us with this personal fulfillment of a life well lived. By the way, it's not just an Old Testament promise. It's repeated in Ephesians chapter 6. You don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3 say this: Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's verse 1. And then here it is: Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It's a direct quote from the Old Testament, Ten Commandments. Here it's repeated in the New Testament. Paul is telling the church of Philippi, honor your parents. This is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Repeated to the Christians there in Philippi. So what it tells us is honoring our parents brings blessing, and we also learn from this text, and I'm going to have to say this quick, but if we fail to honor our parents, it has an impact in many other areas of your life. Can I just list a couple of things? Failing to honor our parents? Number one, it impacts the way your children will respond to you. We see this actually in a number of places in the scripture. One pastor says, he keeps telling his children that I'm going to move in when I cannot take care of myself. I'm going to sit on my phone all day, turn up the TV real loud, invite all my old friends over to eat you out of house and home, and I'm never going to clean my room. And he says that his children are praying for his good health. Listen, it impacts the way our children will respond to us, failing to honor our parents. It drains away your capacity to love others. It builds walls in our lives instead of doors. And I would propose to you that it affects you physically. There's an interesting study. There's a book written by Gary Smalley and John Trent called The Gift of Honor. It's an old, maybe 30 years old book. But if actually this area of honoring your parents is a challenge to you, this is a great book for you to read. The Gift of Honor by Gary Smalley and John Trent. But one of the things that they say in here is that rejecting our parents is robbing from ourselves. There will be physical, failing to honor our parents will affect you physically. And some studies that prove that. So let's make sure that we're really clear about this. You got to know that this is serious stuff with God. If you want to experience blessing from him, it is absolutely critical that you honor mom and dad. Let me give you one more thing. How do we reconcile the command to honor what we've been talking about with some New Testament teaching? I want you to turn to two chapters in the book of Matthew. I want you to look at these. First one is Matthew chapter 19. All right, so I want to ask this question. It's going to be really important for us. How do we reconcile the command to honor our parents with some of the teaching of Jesus in the New Testament? Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 29. It says this, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life." That's very strong teaching. We find the same thing repeated in the book of Mark and repeated again in the book of Luke. And the question is, how do we reconcile Jesus' teaching that there will be some that will be called to leave, to forsake father and mother? How do we reconcile that with the command that we have throughout the scriptures of honoring our parents? Go back to chapter 8. This is another interesting text, verses 19 and 20, there's a man that comes, going to be a follower of Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "I'm going to follow you wherever you go." Remember this, Jesus says to him, this is verse 20, he says, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't know where to lay his head." He said, "You can follow me, but I want you to know it is going to cost you." You're not going to have a place to sleep some nights. You're going to be sacrificing so much of the dream, the dreams that you had of success in life. And what we hear is that this man maybe doesn't follow Jesus. But then look, the verses I want to look at is 21. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That's pretty tough culturally, right? The passage isn't saying that this man's asking, hey, my father passed away, could I go to the funeral? I don't think Jesus is telling him he can't do that. Culturally, what's happening here, which the expectation in that time, which, by the way, is very familiar to us in this part of the world, is that when your father or mother gets to a certain age, you are responsible as the children to go and live with them until they were to pass away and take care of them. And what this man is describing for Jesus, let me go, take care of my cultural obligation to my parents, but it might be a few months, it could be a few years, and then after that, I'll be able to follow you. And Jesus said, this is hard teaching. He said, let the spiritually dead, those who are not believers, bury their dead. You have a bigger job. Go and preach the gospel. We're not told if this man has other siblings or if he's the youngest or the oldest. We don't know how all this fits in, but Jesus' teaching is very strong here. So how do we do that? How do we reconcile these things? I'm going to give you five context notes that are super important and a couple of applications for you. You won't have a chance to write all this stuff down. It will be helpful for you, so you might want to take a picture. You could come back to it, but here you go. Here's the context. Number one, Bible teaching never contradicts itself. So these two teachings are not contradictory. The command to this man to honor his parents and the instruction of Jesus to go and follow him without going back to take care of his parents. Those are not contradictory. Number two, learn to distinguish between cultural expectation and biblical teaching. Man, you guys, this is so important. Whether we're talking about stateside culture, which actually I think sometimes is even more complex because there's this idea that stateside culture is kind of a Judeo-Christian ethic, and so it's kind of Christian in any way, and so you just sort of assume culturally that whatever the culture thinks, that's probably in line with the scriptures. And man, we're going to have to be very careful now and particularly into the future that you don't fall into that trap. You got to find out what God says. But for sure, there's challenges with our island culture. Here, across the FSM, the outer islands, man, there's so many things that we are confronted with that are culturally important. And yet, when they go into the line through the grid of the scriptures, we're going to find out that culturally they don't although they're culturally important, they don't match up with what's scripturally imperative. So we have to learn, you're going to have to be careful student to distinguish between cultural expectation and biblical teaching. This is not to say that all culture is wrong. I don't mean that at all. That's not the case at all. I think we ought to celebrate culture. Celebrate where we've come from. We celebrate traditions. All of that stuff is very positive. But it always has to come under the authority of the scripture and biblical principles. Number three, trust God first and obey him no matter the cultural pressures. It will always be for your good. This is a promise from God. You can trust it. Number four, you may face cultural rejection. Many in this room here this morning have experienced this, and it is very difficult. When you have family expectations that now in your following of Jesus, and you say to your family, Jesus first in this area, you're going to find out, many here have experienced this idea that is very difficult in the family. There is some respect that's lost, and we hate that. These are people that we love and care about. Sometimes there's some family shame. there's some disappointment of family, and that's very hard. You don't want to disappoint these people, and they want to press before you kind of the culture that's been good, and so it's very difficult. You may face that, but number five, I want you to know that God will make things right. He will honor you 100-fold according to Matthew 19:29. So what does that mean? Those are just, I mean, it's not exhaustive, but those are just some biblical principles. How do we approach this? Can I give you four ideas in regard to the honor principle? Here they go. Honor principle, how do we reconcile it with some of our cultural expectations? Number one, honor doesn't demand physical presence. God did not instruct this man in Matthew 8 to disobey commandment number five. Does that make sense? When he called him to go and forsake the family and to follow Jesus, he was not telling him to disobey commandment number five. So honoring our parents does not demand that we always have to be physically present. Culturally, it might. Culturally, honoring might demand physical presence, and that's one of the tensions, because culturally, the family might say, you do have to do this, and that'll be difficult. You'll feel that in your bones. And I'd also say that emotionally, it might. Honor doesn't demand physical presence, but emotionally, it might. Faith and I have aging parents. We're a long ways away from them. Faith, in particular, feels this every day. Her dad passed away a long ways away. Her mom has, you know, got some challenges physically, and there's some sense emotionally of a sense of how do I honor? I want to honor. I love. We love our parents. So one of the things we have to come to is, well, is it right? I mean, shouldn't we be there? What does that look like? So one of the things I tell you, that honor doesn't demand physical presence. Number two, God wants us to help care for the needs of our families, but not neglect our spiritual calling in the process. It's a big lesson from this man in Matthew chapter 8. Number three, God does not call every person to leave family behind. But here's the thing, when he does, spiritual calling and spiritual obedience is always primary. Does that make sense? The calling always overwhelms the priority of the other. And then number five, don't allow any other priorities to distract you from your calling. There's nothing more important than following Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling this man. I'd love to be able to have you to go back and fulfill your cultural obligation to take care of your father until he passes away. But what Jesus said to him is that there is nothing more important than following me and sharing the good news. There's going to be a group of disciples that are going to go out from Jerusalem, and they're going to fill the whole world. They're going to leave their fathers and mothers, and sometimes they're going to leave their families in order to accomplish the fulfillment of the gospel around the world so that the people who haven't heard could hear about Jesus. In the next centuries, this was going to happen, and it continues today. And what Jesus said is there's nothing more important than that calling, and that calling for some will be to go and to leave. And if that calling is on your heart, don't allow any other priorities to distract you from your calling. Man, there's a lot more to say on that. It's quick, but I wanted to make sure that we talked about it. So how do we treat them in such a way? How do we treat our parents in such a way that they feel the value and the weight that you have placed on them? Can I give you just a couple of practical things? Number one, viewing this person as a priceless gift. What this means is that we're going to treasure them. We will treat them like they're important, with great value. We will tell them and show them that they're important. Maybe you look at your life and maybe you haven't necessarily, in your mind, dishonored your parents, but by virtue of your actions and your attitudes, you've treated them as if they have little weight, little value. For all intents, you've treated them like they're a vapor, like they're a mist, like they're not even there. In fact, sometimes you may not even realize it, but they know it. Well, how do we honor them? Well, we view this person as a priceless gift. Number two, we granting this person a position in our lives worthy of great respect. This morning here at Harvest, we want to lift up the role of moms and dads. We want to honor them corporately, and we want to challenge and encourage you individually to do so. It is good for you. It is good for your family. It is good for our society. And then number three, putting our decision into action. What's that mean? Well, seek and value their counsel. I told someone this week that up until right now, there is not a single significant decision in my life that I have not sought my father's counsel on. And I know that that's not going to be forever. I mean, I'm 55 years old, and I'm still, if there's a big decision, I want to hear what my dad has to say about this. What does that, why is that? Well, I really do genuinely honor him. Number two, we speak highly of them to our friends and to our other family members. You know, sometimes in our families, talking to sisters and brothers, we can really be disrespectful towards our parents. I don't think that's how we honor them. What if you as a sibling really became really clear that you're going to honor the name and the reputation of your parents, even among your siblings? Talk to them. Talk to them. Which means you're going to have to find time and serve them. And write them a note or give them a call. And not just on Mother's Day or Father's Day, okay? Another day when they don't feel like you have to, you're obligated to. Write them a note. Call them up and say, I appreciate you. And I've been thinking, thanks for being my dad. I love and I appreciate you. You have always been my hero, and to this day, I want to make you proud. What if 100 dads got a note like that today? What if 100 moms got a note or a call like that today? Man, I think those moms and dads' hearts would be so lifted up, it'd be like this island starts floating. And maybe around the world, wherever your parents are. Maybe it has to start with a phone call or a visit. Perhaps this conversation has to start with seeking forgiveness for the way that you've treated them. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be as clear as the scripture says. Listen, a lack of honor. I'm not even saying you've spoken dishonorable words to your parents. I'm just saying a lack of honor, lack of giving them the value to which they deserve. A lack of honor is a sin, just like any other disobedience. And so maybe the first step has to be, man, Dad, I'm sorry. It's not a matter whether they deserve it or not. It's not a matter of how they treated you in the past. Just, Dad, I'm sorry. I want to honor you well as my father. So here's the question this morning to the children of all ages. How have you honored your parents? How are you honoring them right now? Some of you, I don't have much time for this at all, but some of you are feeling the weight of the fact that some guilt over honor and now your parents are gone? I want to encourage you, one, maybe talk with somebody about that. I'm going to say that in just a minute. But two, it's still okay to write them a note. It'll be good for you. When was the last time you told your parents how much you appreciated them? And if it's a while, can I just ask you, would you do it today? And I would tell you that if you would, according to God's word, you're gonna be blessed. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. Hey, young people, can I just say one more thing to you before we go this morning? I just want to come alongside you one more time and tell you that you are starting a course for your life. And if you could begin by honoring your parents now, you're going to set yourself up for so much more success and health in your future. Hey, young people, some of you need to ask God's forgiveness. I'm guessing there'd be some in here that you look back just on this last week and some of the words that you might have said, or at least the things that you said in the back of your head to your parents, you know that that's not honoring to them. And I want to tell you that if that's true, then you need to confess to God. God, I want to live in honor. And then you're going to need to talk with your parents. And this morning, I want to ask you, young people, teens, college students, would you make a commitment today to honor your parents? And then I want to tell you something else. I want to ask you to find someone to talk to about this. Especially those of you that are like, man, my family is so messed up. You have no idea. I don't know how I can. I got a lot of tough things in my heart about what's happened to me. Can I ask you, can I beg you to talk with somebody here that you can trust? You can talk to Pastor Noah. You can talk to Nikki. You can find your youth leaders. I want to ask you to do that. Do that today. Find them. Say, I want to obey God, but I don't even know how to do it. Here's what's going on in my family. I need some help. And then just in closing, Andrew, why don't you come for the piano? But just in closing, can I ask you this? I wonder, we've been talking about honoring God. I wonder how many people this week, we've been talking about honoring our parents. I wonder how many people, if you think about it, have actually spent the week honoring God in the way that we've been talking about, day in, day out. You've spent time with him. You talked to him. You served him. Our time and our priorities, our thought patterns demonstrated in your life that I value God. Or I wonder if some of us spent the week, kind of like we're talking about honor with our parents, spent the week acting like God was a vapor, like he wasn't even there. And the only time that we thought about him was when we prayed before a meal or when we came to church. The rest of our week was just doing our own thing. What does that mean? Well, it's called dishonor. We're acting as if he's like missed, like he's not there. So while we're making commitments to honor our parents, why don't we determine that we will recommit ourselves to honoring God just like this? Let me ask you to bow your heads. And we'll pray this morning. Before I give you some time to talk with God, I'm sure there are some here that have felt God's conviction, and you know, you would say, I need to get some things right with my parents. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. One is talk with God about it. Ask for his forgiveness. Number two, I'd really encourage you to talk with somebody here about it. You'll find out that what, you know, James says, when we confess our sins to our brothers and sisters, that there's healing there. You'll find that it'll help you. So I'd encourage you to talk with somebody after the service. Seek some counsel. There are some of you that you know you got some deep wounds and you've been holding on to for a long time. It's going to mean somebody that will help you kind of find out, help you walk through. How do we resolve that? What's the Bible have to say about it? And then there might be some that just know, I need to get some things right with God. I want to give God my life. And so this morning, before you leave, I want to encourage you in these moments just to say, God, I'm yours. I got to quit going my own path. I want to be a follower of you. Let me encourage you to just talk with God, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for your word, which is powerful and it's alive and it's practical. I pray that we'd be humble, that you'd take away the pride that keeps us from following you, that you'd allow the conviction that you've brought to our hearts to be something that could be resolved as we confess and we repent, turn around. I pray that the result of this would be families that are healed and individuals who have healthy futures because they've got rid of the bitterness that's kept them, and they've truly honored parents and honored you. So continue to do your work as you've promised to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.